start off by saying thank God for just giving me the opportunity to once again bring the word of God to you. Because every opportunity is just a blessing for me to grow spiritually. Amen. For me to just go out and spread my wings. And every time they put me for the task, I'm always willing to say yes. Amen. Because I'm just a willing servant. And I would just like to talk to you a little bit today about God's blessing and his favor. Because at the end of the day, we need something always to lift us up, not put us down, but to lift us up. Amen. And today I would like to title the message we have a title today would be, God has given, but will you be willing to receive it? Amen. Because God gives us salvation. God gives us blessings all the time. But will you be willing to receive it? Yes. And I would like to start in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Because when you look back at the children of Israel and how they were promised to go into a land that was given to them, basically handed to them. They had a deed already. But yet the people didn't want to follow the instructions. So they suffered because of them not listening to what God had already promised them. So when you go and find Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 19 through 22, it reads as this. Then he set out for Horeb and went through all the great and terrifying wilderness that you saw. So basically, they are already going through. They saw this wilderness that was terrifying. Wow. Like us, we go through daily life and we have bumps in the road. Mm-hmm. But this was nothing compared to what they were going through. They had went through slavery. They were basically mistreated and everything else. And then they have to travel through this road to get to the land of milk and honey. Right. Mm-hmm. And it says that you saw. On the way to the hill country of the Amalekites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh, and I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amalekites, which our Lord God has given us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as your Lord your God, your father has told you. So basically, he has given them this land. He told them to go and take possession of it. He didn't say go question them. He said go and take possession of the land. Do not fear or be dismayed. So he's telling them, don't be fear, because he knew exactly what it was there. He knew who was there that possessed the land already. Then all of you come near me and said. So now this is where it gets a little rocky. Because God already told them what to do. But see, the people said, you know what? We need to go send out some spies to make sure God is really giving us this promise. We do it in our daily life sometime. Did God really tell me to do this? Did God really set this up for me? You're questioning God. Well, you should have total faith in God that he set you on this path. That he set you out to do these things for him. And it says, let us send man before us, that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come. So they're already questioning. It's already, their faith is not there. When we say go seek and save the lost, you have to have a positive attitude. God has already promised me that people are going to come. Amen. God has already promised me I'm going to touch just that one person. I don't need to touch 10, 15, 20. Just that one person I can touch. Because, see, he promised this to a whole generation. He gave them a land, took them from slavery, promised them something. But, see, they had doubt within themselves to cause them to falter. See, when you doubt yourself, you set yourself up for failure already. Amen. When you go out there and say, ain't nobody going to listen to me. They ain't going to shut their doors in my face. They ain't going to want to hear me. You already set yourself up for failure. You might as well keep on your pajamas and get back in bed. Because at the end of the day, your mindset is all wrong. And that was wrong with these people. But see, it took one man to understand what he had to do. Because see, Moses got tied up in people's mess. That's why he wasn't allowed to enter. But see, God always had a backup plan. which was Joshua.
Amen.
Because he understood the realness, because he saw what Moses did. He understood why Moses' life was cut short. So he said, I must continue to carry on regardless of what happened to your servant Moses.
Amen.
See, now let's look at Deuteronomy, same chapter, verse number 26. Once again, chapter 1, Deuteronomy, verses 26. And you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of your Lord God, and you murmured in your tents. What did they do? They start mumbling. Why did God take us from Pharaoh? At least we was getting 3 meals a day, and we was happy. But you really weren't happy. You complain even when you were getting 3 meals a day. You complain when you have to build pyramids. But God's trying to take you away from that. But yet they still complained. They still didn't understand they had God's favor. Because when you have God's favor, you can do anything in this world. You put your mind to it. And they didn't understand that their God's favor was on them at all times.
Amen.
Even when they were in Egypt. See, he tried to do something to get them humble. But see, they didn't understand that. They still wanted to murmur. Well, I'm not going to murmur in front of the preacher. I'll wait till I go home, or I'll wait till I get in my car. And that's what they did. They waited till they got in the privacy of their tents. But apparently somebody heard them because it's in the Bible.
Amen.
So they wasn't really doing it in secret, or they was talking too loud. So when it goes on, it says, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the land of the Amalekites to destroy us. If God wants to destroy you, he could have kept you where Pharaoh was at.
Amen.
Pharaoh was doing an excellent job.
Right.
He was right on time. Get out there, move these boulders. If you don't, I'm going to beat you. You're still from me, I'm going to cut something off of you.
Yep.
So Pharaoh was doing his job. So why would God have to remove you from a land that he was already doing what he had to do?
Amen.
God wanted to bring you up. God wanted to give you favor. God wanted to show you something new. He wanted to give you a newness in life.
Amen.
We're all here so God can give us a newness in life. So God can show us, hey, I still love you. I woke you up this morning to come here. We already have his favor. We just don't understand it. And see, let's go down also. Now we're going to skip down. When you get home, you can read the rest of Deuteronomy. When you go down to verse number 34. And the Lord heard your war, and the Lord heard your words and was angry. And he swore, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give to your fathers. So God already said, I promise it to them. But you know what your wickedness is going to cause? You never to see it, let alone enter it. So that's sad. Because at the end of the day, this was a promise God had already given them. God promised us heaven, but we cut ourselves out of it. It's nothing that God does. We do it to ourselves. At the end of the day, the promise is there. The water is here. The book is here. It's us that don't want to keep it.
Amen.
We want to take little bits and pieces. We got to take it all or nothing. And that's what I'm coming to understand. I don't want to be like them, murmuring, grumbling.
No.
I want to see the promise.
Amen.
Not only me, I want my son to see the promise. Not only my son, I want my wife to see the promise. So in order for them to see the promise, I have to live a certain way for them to get the promise. Because if they see me acting up, they're going to be like, well, if you the head, I sure don't want to follow you. So we have to rethink some things in our daily lives, in our daily households, because if they start acting up, we going to start acting up. But if you have enough God in you, you can keep it right on track.
Amen.
Just like Joshua was doing. Now let's look over at Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Once again, that's Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's a promise that I would love to have.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's letting them know, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So God's letting them know, I will be there for you. God, when he died, he said, I'll leave you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. God is going to be there for us under any circumstances if we're willing to let him take control. If you don't open up your heart, he can't come in.
Amen.
So at the end of the day, you have to have a true understanding. It says, I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So now he has a real purpose. He's going to be the one that guides them in because God said, I choose you now. Did not God choose all of us that are here?
Amen.
We're here for a reason.
Yes.
So let's start doing what we need to do if we have God's favor. Let's change his mindset. Let's get a new mindset and start running. Because Joshua understood this. Because he was an instrument. We're all instruments. It's just where you play your part.
Amen.
And then it says, I swore to them their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. He's letting you know.
Right.
You have to be strong and courageous. When we go out in this world, people, as Christians, we have to be strong and courageous.
Amen.
Because if we not, we're going to come back hurt like a little wet puppy.
Amen.
Talking about why did I get beat up so bad? Because you weren't prepared, number one. You need to have a true understanding. Joshua had to go through this to get to where he was at. Joshua just didn't take off running and say, I'm going to take Moses' place. He had to get some understanding to get where he was going.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. When we get understanding, we can go to where we need to go. And it says that people inherit the land that I swore, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may be, that you may have good success wherever you go.
Amen.
So if you keep the law, that's what he was under the law. He would have good success. It says, love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. In order for us to have success, we have to learn to keep what God has commanded us.
Amen.
Since his son came and died. We have to learn to humble ourselves. We might not want to, but we have to learn to do it. Because I guarantee you, when the lawman pull you over, you're not irate with him. When he tell you where your license, you already got it prepared, handing it to him. Anything else you need, sir?
That's right.
You want me to get out the car, sir? Why can't we take that same humbleness we have with Mr. Policeman or even the IRS when they come and audit you?
Amen.
You prepare everything for them. Why can't we do that to our fellow Christians? So we need to change this old mindset. And turn it on at all times. Because you understand, we have God's favor. We have the favor. We have the love. We have the kindness. We have everything that we need to have. Because we read about it in the Old Testament. And these people were under very harsh times.
Right.
They were under, if you said something that was other than what the Pharisees said, you were stoned to death. You were killed. There was no saying, oh, please forgive me. You were taken out in the field like we got over there. They picked up some rocks and threw them at you until you were dead. We don't even have that in today's society. It's going to get there, though, pretty soon. The laws are getting harder and harder. History repeats itself. You look at Hitler. Hitler said, burn all the books, especially the Bibles. History just repeats itself. Pretty soon, it's going to be like that again. That's why I said, remember, store it in your heart. You should be able to remember some Bible verses to get you by when you're on hard times, when you're not feeling good, if you don't have your word with you at all times. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
Amen.
You should have a scripture that brings you up at all times. Even when you say Jesus wept, you should have something that encourages you to go to that next level, encourage you to see people come to church. It should make your heart ring with joy.
Amen.
Because that's what it did for Joshua. Because he was happily to take on that role. See, when you get in this water, you have to take on a role. You might not want to, so don't get in the water. Because you have to prepare yourself for this role. It's a hard role. It's a hard role to travel too. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be people in your house that discourages you. It's going to be people that make you feel like you're not doing the right thing. But at the end of the day, if you want to make heaven your home, you can't be like them murmuring and grumbling. You have to be on the higher path and say, God, I know you have done this. And see, when you have an understanding, Joshua knew who God was. Joshua didn't care about the people that rebelled against him. Because you understand, when you read the text in Joshua, they had to go to a city. And see, the city next to him was Jericho. And when you do your research on Jericho, the city, Jericho was a city that had high walls. Back in the day, you couldn't mess with Jericho unless you had a good general and an army. But not only that, you had to have an army that was willing to fight for days on end, probably weeks on end. God told him to do this. Go. Walk around the city. On the seventh day, you will take it. See, but people don't understand that. That was God's favor at work the whole entire time. Favor was always there, but the people couldn't really understand it. Sometimes God sends us to do certain things and we can't really comprehend. Why am I talking to this person? Why am I even dealing with this bum on the street? It's God's favor for you to go and touch somebody else. It's not our will, but God's will. Amen. See back, and let's look at Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. See, Joshua understood this. Joshua really got a hold of it and it turned his life upside down. But it was for the betterment of the growth. Amen. See, when you read Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, now Joshua was shut up inside and outside before because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands with his king and mighty man of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do this for 6 days. So he understood this. When you read further on, it's going to tell you how they overtook this city. Because God had given them favor to overtake this city. God has said, this is going to be yours. This is the promise I have. I will fulfill it. See, God promises all things. But at the end of the day, will you be able to fulfill it? You as a person, as an individual. Because just like the Israelites, he told them their generation wasn't going to make it. I don't want to be part of that generation. I want to be the generation that sees my promise. But not only sees it, enjoy my promise. Amen. Because half of them didn't make it in. It took generation after generation for them to even get there. And then even they have problems throughout the Bible. We don't need to have problems because we have God's favor.
Amen.
See, when you say, some people go around and say, well, I'm bored in church. I'm bored with the worship. What if God turned around and said, I'm bored with your worship to me?
Amen.
So you really got to think about it. It's a double-edged sword. Because God says, give your best, not your, here we go again. He said, give your best unto me. Give me your first, not your seconds. You go back to Cain and Abel. They had a problem with that all through the Bible. Because he wanted to give not his best to God. He killed his brother. At the end of the day, give your best. Always think about, is God really bored with my worship? Is God really bored with my service? Because at the end of the day, if you can reflect on that, you'll be uplifted to say, you know what? I'm going to do 10 times better. I'm going to go out and talk to 10 more people instead of just people. I'm going to talk instead of just one person. I'm going to go to my job and let them know I'm on fire.
Amen.
When they see me, they're going to see this glow about me. Because at the end of the day, when they said Moses came from the mount, what did they say they had about him? He had a glow. He had an aura about him. We as Christians should have this glowing aura because we have God's favor.
Amen.
See? Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5. Once again, that's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. And it reads, He predestinated for us adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So you got to understand this. He predestinated according to adoption. When you're adopted, you usually got to abide by certain rules. You just can't go and be like, oh, somebody adopts a child and be like, well, I'm going to run the household today and you're going to do what I tell you to do. No, it don't work that way. Adoption means I go and choose a child that I'm willing to work with. I'm willing to help grow. I'm willing to build structure in their life. That's what Jesus did for us. All of us. But you cannot rebel because if you do, you'll be cut off. Because there's kids that get returned back to the adoption agency. That's why they have group homes. And they just share them all together. And that's what the devil wants you in a group home. Because it's going to be his home. Because at the end of the day, God has adopted us and he has showed us favor. And let's also look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Once again, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You have been saved through faith. And it says, and this is not your own doing. If it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we shall walk in them. So at the end of the day, we were made for his works.
Amen.
We need to take self out of it. We need to understand his favor that he's given us, his favor to live long, his favor to enjoy life, but also to give praises and honor to God. And let's take it a little bit further to chapter 3, verses 14. Once again, that's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So God gives us this power through our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's all about your faith. If you have little faith, that's on you. Build it up, people. We come here to build each other up, not tear down.
Amen.
That you may be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded. If you ever go up north, I think it's in Oregon, they have a tree, big redwoods. They cut the inside of the redwoods out, big enough for a truck to drive through. You could drive a big old truck through these trees. And you know what? The trees still grow. They're still there. You would think, oh, you cut the middle of the tree, I was going to die. No, because the tree was rooted. The tree was grounded. The tree will still have use. So regardless of what goes on in your life, you can have holes all in you. But if you're rooted and grounded,
Amen.
God can still use you.
Amen.
If you're rooted and grounded, you still have some use, people. Because when I look at those trees, I'm like, man, what the heck? You could drive through it, it's still here. Because it's rooted and grounded, people.
Amen.
And that's what we need to be, rooted and grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if you think you're used up, God ain't done with you yet. When we walking past Forest Lawn or whatever, then he done with you.
Yeah, right.
But until then, you still got some use in you. And it says, may he have strength to comprehend with all saints that is brethren and long and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. So God does more than all we can ask or think. So if God is doing all this, why can't we just do our part? He's showing us favor. He's giving us what we need. More than we can even think or imagine, God does for us.
Amen.
According to the power at work within us. So in order to get this, God has to be in work within you. See, God gives us this, but it's according to what's within us. And it goes on and it says, 21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever. Amen.
Amen.
So at the end of the day, somebody does something good for you. Thank you, but I thank God for touching your heart for doing this for me.
Amen.
See, we say thank you on an individual basis, but who's really in charge? We need to understand this. God is a jealous God.
Amen.
God does everything for us. Why can't we give him a little token of our appreciation back?
Amen.
Now let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, and I'm almost done. Once again, that's Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. Look carefully then now how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Because the days are evil. How do you use your times on a daily basis? How do you really worship God on a daily basis? Because evil days are coming, people. And then when the days do come, I bet you be on your knees every day. When the police is allowed to come in your house and do what they want to do. When the government's already installing things. They're just doing a little increments. Pretty soon it's going to be a time where you can't go shopping without a little chip in your hand. And then you're going to be on your knees 24/7 praying to God. Well, you could do that now on a daily basis. Because there are some countries where if you say or worship God, they behead you.
Right.
If you don't believe me, look on YouTube. They do it over there like it's nothing. They'll kill you, cut your tongue out, poke your eyes out and everything just to worship my Lord and Savior. So at the end of the day, we need to think about it, people. What do we do with our time on a daily basis? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Just stop right there. And understand the will of the Lord. So what we have to do is understand the will of the Lord and what he wants us to do. And one more verse. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Once again, that's Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. You also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns. Do we meet each other singing songs and hymns?
Yeah.
Okay. And spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in the word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen.
So everything we do should have God approval.
Amen.
Everything we do should be approval to God.
Amen.
Every thought we have should be approval to God.
Amen.
So the next time that something's not going right, be like, well, God approve of this. Because remember, we have his favor, people. Remember, God has predestinated us. God adopted us. And this is adoption where God not going to return us.
Nope.
We probably go through some rough things. You probably get turned upside down. But at the end of the day, God is going to be our Father.
Amen.
God is always going to be there. Hard times, good times, he's always there. So just think about your worship to God. Is it acceptable to him? Not to everybody else, but is acceptable to God. And if you can get that straight within yourselves, you're on the right path.
Amen.
Thank you for your time. Have a blessed day.
Amen.